children to praise Him and to worship Him and to look into His Word for a while. Appreciate your presence here. We have some visitors, and we're so glad that you can be with us and join in this experience tonight as we think about something that I think all of us as disciples have to deal with from time to time, and that is what I might call the problem of spiritual regression. Have you ever in your life, and this is a rhetorical question, because I know it's true if you've lived very long, been disappointed with yourself, especially as it relates to your service to the Lord? I suspect that most of us who've been Christians any length of time at all have experienced that. Maybe we've had our confidence shaken or broken. We thought we were on the road to being faithful, and then all of a sudden we wind up doing something or failing to do something and just disappointing ourselves. And it makes us feel, just frankly bad about ourselves. Makes us wonder how the Lord feels too, doesn't it? Because we think, well, if I'm this disappointed with me, imagine what He must be thinking of. And at this point where a lot of us get from time to time, where we've disappointed ourselves and we're feeling like we really disappointed the Lord, we need, I think, an understanding, probably a better understanding than most of us have, about how to get back on track, about how to get back in a right relationship with the Lord, where we're serving Him in a way that is pleasing to us and pleasing to Him. We don't want to be in this position where we're back in the same old boat that we were to begin with. I don't know if you ever played the game Chutes and Ladders with your kids. Maybe some of you who are adults still play it. Not accusing anybody. I'm just saying I can see that that's possible with some of you. But you might remember if you've ever played the game, you know, you get up, you move your piece, and you go up and up and up and up and up. And if you might get to a place where there's a chute and your guy has to come all the way back down to the bottom where he was to begin with, that is a very disappointing feeling when you're back in the same old place. And maybe the way I normally play it, and with my luck, you know, usually I do that about 10 or 15 times during a game and have to go back down to the beginning and start all over again. That's a very disappointing thing. And that's the kind of feeling that we're talking about that maybe all of us have experienced, where we fall into the same old unproductive, unhealthy habits spiritually, or wind up in a place where we're not really happy with our service to the Lord. I'd like to, in our lesson tonight, examine the Apostle Peter, who experienced something I think that is much like what all of us have experienced in this same way. And we're going to basically start at the end of the story, and then I'll back up and tell the story through, a story that you're familiar with, but maybe there are aspects of it we haven't thought about before in terms of, you know, what the lesson is tonight. So I'd like you to go to John chapter 21, which is really the main text of our lesson. And I'll start here, and we won't get back to it for a little while. But in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 3, after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, He showed Himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We are going with you also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Peter goes back to fishing. He goes back to the boat. He goes back to catching nothing in the boat. And I don't know if you remember, but he had a pretty similar experience when he first really made a commitment to follow the Lord. And so let's go back and think about Peter getting back in that same old boat that they had one time, he and the other disciples, that they had one time left. If you look at Matthew, the 4th chapter, Jesus' call of 4 of these disciples, in verse 18, he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, which the Sea of Tiberias is the same sea that John talks about in John 21. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And the text says, going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So here are four fishermen who very famously leave the fishing business, leave the nets and the boat to go serve the master. Luke's account of this, and I think it is very probably the same event, although many additional details are told in Luke chapter 5. If you read a couple of scholars, A.T. Robertson in his book, A Harmony of the Gospels, and also J.W. McGarvey in The Fourfold Gospel, both of them indicate that this event that we've just read in Matthew 4 is the same one that happens in Luke 5, and Luke just adds a number of details, and it fits together in the gospel accounts. But if you look at chapter 5 and verse 1 of the Gospel of Luke, it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, he stood by the Lake of Gennesaret. We've learned three names for the Sea of Galilee now, because here it's called the Lake of Gennesaret, all the same place. He saw two boats standing by the lake, and the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out and go into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing." Now you remember where we started at the end of the story. You had these disciples in a boat. They'd fished all night. They'd caught nothing. Now here Peter is basically at the beginning, and that's the experience that he's just had. Thoroughly unsatisfying as far as a fisherman is concerned. Thoroughly disappointing as far as a fisherman is concerned, to fish all night and not catch anything. Yet Peter says, "Nevertheless, at your word, we will." So they let down their nets, and they caught, it says in verse 6, a great number of fish. Their net was breaking. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What I want you to notice, not only had Peter had a very disappointing night fishing, but Peter was a man who was extremely disappointed with himself and didn't feel that he was good enough to be in the Lord's presence to serve the Lord. "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." The boat that Peter was in here, both physically and spiritually, was, I think, pretty much the same boat that he was in John 21 at the end of the story. Disappointed with a night of fishing and disappointed with himself. What we're going to see is that on both occasions, Jesus won't accept that. He won't accept, "Well, I'm too disappointed with myself to serve you, Lord. That's not our master." What our master does for Peter on this occasion is that he says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And with such assurance and confidence and encouragement, the Lord basically tells him, "You can be worthwhile to me, Peter. You can be worthwhile to yourself." And Peter gets up with the others. It says they forsook all. They got out of the boat. They forsook all and they followed him. What a great story. But in between these two stories of Peter getting out of the boat and then Peter getting back in the boat, there's the reason basically that Peter became disappointed with himself. And again, we're familiar with the story, aren't we? He denied the Lord. He followed him for over 3 years, watched all of the miracles. Peter was the one who in Matthew 16, verses 16 and following, he was the one who made that confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And remember Jesus' response to that. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter on this rock, this thing that you confessed, this truth of my identity. On this rock I will build my church, Jesus told him. Peter had done all of that. And yet, when we turn over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, and verses 54 and following, we see the source of his disappointment with himself later on. Jesus had been arrested in verse 54, and they led him and they brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. They kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together. Peter sat among them. I want you to remember that they kindled a fire and Peter was sitting with the enemies of Jesus. A certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with them, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are saying." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And in the midst of all that's going on, with the trial of Jesus about to take place before at least part of the Sanhedrin, Peter standing there in the courtyard, and the two of them are aware of each other. All of a sudden, two dear friends, a master and his disciple. And how Peter must have felt in that moment, entirely disappointed with himself. And how he must have felt about how Jesus felt about him. Jesus just saw what he'd done. Jesus was aware of what happened. The text says, he went out and wept bitterly. That's basically what happened to Peter. And I think it's why, when we turn back over to John 21, it's one explanation at least for why Peter went back to fishing. Not only did he go back to fishing, but he led others back to the boat. You notice that? I'm going fishing. And the others go with him. And they toil all that night. And they don't catch anything. Peter led others back to the boat. On this occasion, though, Jesus comes again. Now raised from the dead. Peter's aware of that. He knows the Lord has been raised. And it says in verse 4 that when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. They didn't know who he was yet. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. What we'll see here is that Jesus is going to help Peter get out of that boat, both physically and spiritually. Get out of this condition of depression and regression and feeling sorry for himself and feeling disappointed in himself and really a position of uselessness to his Lord to a position where he can be useful again. The Lord is going to help Peter get out of the boat. And to do that, what happens to Peter is that he recognizes that here the Lord is still there. The Lord has come. He's waiting on the shore. And Peter is the one who recognizes and says, "It is the Lord." Look at verse 4. When Jesus is standing on the shore, nobody knows who he is as yet. The disciple whom Jesus loved, probably John, says to Peter, "It is the Lord." And then Peter heard it was the Lord. He put on his outer garment. He had removed it, and he plunges into the sea to get back to Jesus. What a wonderful moment that surely was. As these weary fishermen, you know, come toward the shore, maybe after a disappointing night of fishing. It's to quote Yogi Berra, deja vu all over again. We've been here before. We've experienced this. Their eyes look to the shore as John exclaims, "It is the Lord." And without hesitation, Peter dresses himself, plunges into the water, and swims to shore. What a wonderful scene of grace. Peter could overcome his disappointment in himself by accepting the Lord's call to serve. There are a lot of reminders on this occasion to Peter. Reminders of how he had disappointed the Lord. There's the lack of a catch of fish. But more than that, there's a fire. And you remember he was around sitting by a fire when he denied the Lord. Now there's a fire. Kind of a similar scene in a lot of ways. And Peter is really almost forced by the Lord, if he wasn't already dwelling on his three denials. He's almost forced by the Lord to think about that as the Lord asks him not once, not twice, but three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And again, we know the text. But look in 21 and verse 15. When they'd eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And, you know, scholars have debated, is he saying more than these other disciples? And that's a possibility. But I rather think, considering what we've talked about his problem with the boat, more than these things, these fish and this fishing paraphernalia and this boat that's setting here on the shore. Do you love me more than these things? Maybe is what Jesus is asking. And Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. I think Peter recognizes surely the import of being asked three times whether or not he loved the Lord. And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." I don't know how a man could ever be more disappointed in himself than the Apostle Peter was when he denied the Lord those three times. When the Scripture says that he'd gone out and wept bitterly, I think all of the deepest meaning of weeping and bitterly is fraught in that phrase. We don't know what all was going on in his mind. Had it been you or me, had it been me, I would have thought, well, this, you know, I've blown it. There's no way I can ever be what I thought I was, what the Lord wanted me to be. Not after that. I can never come back. I don't know if that's what Peter thought exactly, but that's what I would have thought. But Jesus says, "Feed my sheep. Tend my lambs." tend my sheep. He says, Peter, I've got work for you to do. I don't have time for you to wallow in this. I can't let you be overcome with self-pity. I've got work for you to do. We can't let Satan have you here. You remember Jesus had told him, when he told him that he was going to not deny him before the crucifixion, he said, I have prayed for you. Satan has desired you that he may sift you as wheat. In essence, this whole thing, Jesus is in essence saying to Peter, I cannot let the devil have you. And you've got to get back up on your feet and serve me. And it hardly matters what you've done to disappoint yourself and your Lord. Know this. If you still love Him, and that's the condition, if you still love the Lord, He's got work for you to do. And you need to get back up on your feet and do it. That's precisely what Jesus is telling Peter. Focus on your love for Jesus, on His love for you, not on your disappointment with yourself. So on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus reached out to a disappointed and disappointing Peter. Peter has a chance to try again. Jesus isn't through with him. Jesus still loves him, and he loves Jesus. Jesus still loves you, no matter where you are tonight. Really, the only question is, do you still love him? Jesus can still use you if you're willing to be used. The problem's not in him, it's in us. The Lord is waiting for you on the shore. Overcome your disappointment with yourself. Heed his call to serve. Focus on his love and to get out of that boat. That boat's not going anywhere. Try again. Try again. Tonight, am I talking to somebody who's just back in the same old boat spiritually and you need to get out? Why not come, confess that, ask for prayers for strength? Ask for forgiveness if you need it. Why not make it right? Jesus is waiting. We'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.